idea, and we.
Where you are, would you just lift holy hands to a holy God and just tell him how much you love him. Tell him how grateful you are to be here in his presence. Take about 30 seconds in your own way. Put a praise on your lips. Put a praise on your lips. He is holy. Father, we thank you for this moment in time where your presence is here. And we recognize that you are holy. And we know we can't come to you any way. The Bible said, who shall enter the hill of the Lord but he that have clean hands and a pure heart? So we want you, even our online viewers, to just take a minute and just search your heart. We're getting ready for communion, to prepare for communion. Online viewers, get your crackers and your juice, and we're going to come back together and have communion together. But just look inside. If there's anything that would block you in your relationship and fellowship today in this worship time, talk to the Lord about it. Father, we bless you and we thank you and honor you today. Father, we ask that you would wash us, prepare us to be in the presence of a holy God. Father, we thank you for the blood that was paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. And we're so grateful that you did it just for us. And we bless your name today. In your son Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, the Bible declared in Isaiah 53. Isaiah said that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You know, at the table of blessing today, God can heal you. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, He can do it. And on the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. He took it, he blessed it, and then he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. He said, this bread, it represents my body that will be broken just for you. Say, just for me. And then he said, as often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me. Family, let's eat together. The blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then that's in like manner, he took the cup. And he said, this cup, it represents. It represents a new covenant, a better covenant in my blood. And as often as you drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. Come on and bless the Lord for his broken body and shed blood.
Jesus, King Jesus, just place his hands on this moment. I believe that with my whole heart. And I believe he has everything in control all the time. Amen, church family. The psalmist says, all of my help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of the heavens and the earth. If the birds don't have to reap what they sow, yet God takes care of all the food they eat every single day, imagine what he can do in your life. Blows my mind, church family. If he has his eye on the sparrow, surely he has his eyes on his beloved. All of our help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Can we just take a second to stretch our holy hands towards a holy God? Cry out to him in this moment. Tell him how much you love him, how much you depend on him, how much you need him. He is the source of all life. He's the source of all goodness. All good things come from him. Say, Jesus, we love you. Say, Jesus, we need you. Everything I have comes from you. Everything I need comes from you. He's our sustainer, our provider, our protector. He is our mighty fortress, and he is our friend. He is enough today. He is enough. Let's sing that together. Sing, Jireh, you are enough. Oh, Jireh, oh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jehovah Jireh, oh, you are enough. Let's sing that again. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. And Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content
in every circumstance.
In every circumstance.
Jehovah
Jireh, you are enough.
And if he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? And if he dresses with beauty and splendor, how much more?
How much more will he clothe?
How much more?
How much more will he clothe?
For your love. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your provision, God. It's like no other.
You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other.
anybody testify?
You are my strength. Yes, you are strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me, yeah, in the fullness of your grace. And in the power of your name, you lift me up. He keeps lifting us higher. You lift me up. Sing in the fullness of your grace. And in the power of your name, you
time. Sing it to your King. Tell him
you are my strength. Strength like no other. He's our strength.
Strength like no other.
Reaches to me.
Sing, I exalt.
worthy to be praised. Revelation 5 says, "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing.'" Praise be to God. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that you serve. That's the God that I serve. There is no one like him in heaven or on earth. And so we lift his name high right now. Our highest praises belong to him. So let's continue to sing together. Sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." To agreement with heaven this morning, sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Yes, he. So sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Sing, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. We adore you. We adore you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're so worthy. Yeah. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, roars of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. Wonder.
awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. What's his name, church? Sing it. Jesus, your name is power.
Good morning. We welcome you to our Sunday morning celebration of our great God and our great Christ with God's great people. We are delighted to be with you today. If you are a visitor, remain standing. Everyone else can be seated. All of our visitors, we want to take a good look at you. Welcome. We're glad to have you. Members, greet the visitors around you. Let them know we're certainly glad that they are here. We are delighted to have you as part of our extended family today in God's house. So we welcome you, and we also welcome all of our online visitors and friends as well to our worship service today. Well, I hope you all enjoyed Family Vacation Bible School. Was a tremendous time. I don't know how we're going to improve on that next year, but we're going to do the best we can. But it was a great time of seeing how real the Bible is, even against the errors of science, and it was very challenging. And so we're delighted for that. We begin now our regular ongoing Sunday programming with our series today, Who Owns Your House? And that will go through June and July on Sunday morning. It'll be whether you're single, married, single parent, nuclear family, extended family, you'll find that there's something here for you. Who owns your house? Then on Wednesday night, we take your questions, and we will have discussion and interaction, and we're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. From 7 to 8 or 8:10, right in there, we'll have Q&A and some interaction on what we've talked about the previous Sunday. And then we're going to party. We're going to have some fun. And we'll have food and music and games and a lot of activity just to enjoy the summer season together. So if you have questions, you can send them to ocbfchurch.org/hot topics, And we'll get to as many questions. I'm sure some will overlap. So we're going to just have a good time on Wednesday nights. I hope you're here. A great program for the children called Wacky Wednesday, where they're going to have a good time, but also be challenged spiritually for our children and our youth. So we hope to take advantage of that. This Friday is our men's conference. We've got almost 2,500 men who are going to be with us, and looking forward to that. There's still room for you men. We've got room for 500 or so more. So if you want to, if you haven't registered, or you have some guy friends that you want to be part of this with our special guests, Dak Prescott and Mr. Foreman, and so it's going to be a great, great time. Unfortunately, ladies, the women's conference is full. So they have over 3,200. So they're kind of full. But we're going to have a great time. Going to have a great time this summer. Talking about ladies, if our ladies choir, who's going to sing for Father's Day, if you would like to be a part of that, they practice this Tuesday at 7:30 in the choir room. So we know we have a bunch of ladies who've signed up already, but if you want to be part of that, then feel free to do so on this Tuesday. And I didn't mention, when I mentioned the men's conference, that Saturday, the next day, this Saturday, is our Father and Son Day. So if you have a son, 10 to 17, we want you to bond with him and other fathers with their sons. So you can register for that too, along with Friday night. There'll be swimming and boating and basketball and football and fishing, and it's just a whole lot of fun activities, food, and just a great time, because we want to promote that relationship here at our church. So we're looking forward to that. By the way, our summer pool program is open at our golf course. So if you want to have a summer fun, our pool is open, and you can take advantage of that. Good food, fun, and fellowship, that you can call the golf course, and you can register to be part of that if you so desire. So we've got a lot of great things that are going to be happening this summer. If you want to find out about membership here at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, ocbfchurch.org/membership. We have an online membership, and you can take advantage of that throughout the year. And if you're part of our online family, we have what we call Friends of Oak Cliff. Friends of Oak Cliff. These are folks who are not in the Metroplex, but they still want to be connected. And you can find out about that program of connectivity so that you can get some of the benefits that we can still offer you online. So we're here to serve. That's what we call ourselves, kingdom servants, because we want that spirit to invade our church and invade our members and affect our environment. People who don't come just to be served, but to serve. And so all that we can do to make life better under God for you and through you for others is what we want to do. And that's why your giving allows us to do that, whether it's online or on site in one of our giving boxes or through the mail. It is allowing us to do what we do in an excellent way. And we want to do it for the glory of God, which means you do it, you try to do it as excellently as possible. But you know, so much giving now is done online that you can kind of do it and not think about it, because it's kind of automatic. And it's easy when it's done that way. You know, when we used to pass offering preach, we had to kind of think about it, you know, you know, you'd be writing out your check or putting it in the envelope. Now, with automation, you don't really have to think about it. But I want you to think about the fact that every good and perfect gift comes from above, that God is your source, that even though it may be automatic, it's only automatic because God has made a provision. And so I never want you to lose sight of the fact that what you have been given in whatever area it's in, not just financially, but in life, if it's good, it came from God, okay? So I want you to take 30 seconds right there where you're sitting, and I want you to thank God for his goodness, however you see it flowing in you and to you. Because when people know about the goodness of God, you don't have to have gimmicks and gadgets and twist arms and beg. All you got to do is remind them that God has been good. He's been good to you, me, and us. Take a few moments to thank him, and then I will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. You're the source of goodness. Even when we've been bad, you've been good. And we know that the world has a lot of negative things to throw in our face now. That's why we're going to place our eyes toward you. Because our God is good. And I know, Lord, we can say it as a rhyme. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But I just wanted, Lord, us to pause and for you to hear us say, thank you for the good things you give us. We are grateful, and we give thanks. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship.
Yes, we are so, so glad that you joined us in person and online today. Dr. Evans is introducing a new sermon series for June and July called Who Owns Your House?
Today's topic is about the family from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. So who owns your family? Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God.
Summer is here, and that means it's time for Wednesday night Hot Topics. Beginning this Wednesday, June 14th at 7 p.m., come as early as 5 p.m. for food trucks, games, music, and fun. Each Wednesday, Dr. Evans will answer questions in a Q&A about his Sunday sermon topics, Who Owns Your House? You can submit your questions at ocbfchurch.org/hot topics.
The Next Gen Ministry has some great things in store for you this month as they kick off the summer with the theme, Building Your Faith from Hebrews 11:1. Make sure the Next Gen kids and youth join us this summer as we build our faith.
The 2023 No More Excuses Men's Conference and Father's Day Fellowship are going down this weekend. Men, we have a spectacular weekend planned for you this Friday, June 16th. Join Pastor Jonathan Evans and speakers Dr. Tony Evans, George Foreman, and Dak Prescott, along with gospel recording artist Myron Butler. Then on this Saturday, June 17th, we invite fathers, sons, uncles, and nephews to participate in our Father's Day Fellowship with food, sports, games, and fun. Registration ends Wednesday, June 14th. To get more information about both events and register at ocbfchurch.org/NME.
Ladies, we have the Desperate for Jesus Women's Conference on Friday and Saturday, July 21st and July 22nd with Crystal Hurst, Priscilla Shire, and their special guests, Charlotte Gamble, Dr. Sarita Lyons, and Kiara Sheard Kelly. Unfortunately, the in-person registration is closed. However, you can still register to attend via simulcast by visiting dfjconference.com.
OCBF has virtual Free at Last support groups for individuals experiencing emotional and or spiritual strongholds. There are 13 different support groups led by trained facilitators every Monday beginning tomorrow, June 12th. Get more information about our support groups and register at ocbfchurch.org/free at last.
Donate blood to give the gift of life this Wednesday, June 14th at the Sickle Cell Blood Drive from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sickle cell disease predominantly impacts individuals of African descent. Your blood donation can help patients get the treatment they need to combat this illness. To become a donor and help the community, visit ocbfchurch.org/sickle cell blood drive.
We are a church where no one stands alone. As a church family, we want to go the extra mile to show our care and support for those members who are experiencing difficulties because of sickness or the loss of a loved one.
Yes, and for a list of those members, please visit ocbfchurch.org/comfortandcare. The password is in the e-bulletin. And don't forget, you can keep up with all of these announcements, including Thursday Fight Night Prayer, Careers at OCBF, and so much more. If you don't have the app, it's okay. Just go to the Google Play and Apple App Store to download the OCBF Church app today. Well, that is all of the announcements for you guys. Please enjoy the service.
Enjoy the service, you guys.
OCBF family, would y'all stand back up to your feet as we continue in this posture of worship? It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, God's grace is available to you right now. His love is relentless. So let's just thank him for that right now. Come on, let's worship. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah, we're grateful today. When I was your foe, still your love. Is that anybody's story today? And you have been so, so good to me. So, so good. When I felt no worth, all across the room we sing, oh, and oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Well, we couldn't earn it, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. We believe that today. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't. To me, oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me, oh, there's no shadow you won't light up, the mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, he's running, there's no wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming one more time. Sing, oh, the overwhelming, never reckless
love of God. Oh, it chases me down, but still love.
Do you realize what you're singing? And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away.
Oh, the overwhelming, ever-living reckless of God.
Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, God, that you gave your Son for us. Thank you that there isn't a single person in this room or watching online that is left behind. Thank you that you go before us, you go behind us, you're all around us, God, that you're our friend, you're our Father, you're a mighty fortress, God, and that we are never alone. You never let us walk alone, God. Even when it feels like we're in the valley of the shadow of death, remind us to not fear evil because you are right there with us. It's in Jesus' precious and mighty name we thank you, God. And all God's people said,
you'll remain standing. For the reading of the word, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, as we begin our series, as we challenge our saints, rebuild our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us are familiar with the story of the three little pigs. These three little pigs wanted to build a house. The problem was that while they all three desired to build a house, all three of their homes were under attack. There was this big bad wolf. And this big bad wolf wanted to destroy what they had set out to build. Their motivation was good. They wanted to build a house. They wanted to put the work in to have a successful home. But the big bad wolf had other ideas. The big bad wolf wanted to destroy what they wanted to construct, but not because he was concerned about the external. He wanted some pork chops, pig feet, ham hocks. He wanted to destroy and eat the pigs. There's a big bad wolf called Satan, and he wants to huff and puff and blow your house down. He wants to bring destruction, not primarily to property, but to people. The men and women, boys and girls who are living in the house. Today, the home is under attack. It's being summarily attacked in every direction imaginable. Systems have been set up to attack the proper definition of family. And at the heart of it is the lack of clarity of who owns the family. Because the people who own it control it. So that if you don't know who owns it, you may offer it to somebody to control it who has no legitimacy for ownership of it. We're living in a day when our society has increasingly rejected family. And the reason why that is so critical is whoever owns the family controls the future. The saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large. When the family structure as it was designed to be begins to fray, when the big bad wolf is able to deconstruct what it was meant to be, then chaos will go beyond that family and enter into the whole of society.
Amen.
Over and over again, the Bible talks about times when the family was under attack and disintegrated. Whether it's the nuclear family or the single parent family, or whether it's just you in your home, the goal of the big bad wolf is to disintegrate it and make it ineffective. In Isaiah chapter 3, for example, in verse 12, it talks about how the children, because they had abandoned God's standards, the children were living in rebellion. Rebellion by the children had become normative. It says that the women were ruling the homes. And then it says in verse 25, and all the men became weak. And so there was chaos. They were defeated because the structure had been inverted. Children were ruling parents. Mates were in constant role reversals. And chaos set in. We're living in a day when the structure in society wants to define what the family ought to be. In fact, they're renaming families, redefining families. And families are now becoming whatever you decide you want it to be. We're looking at the redefinition of marriage. We're looking at the government having more authority over the children than the mom and the dad. We're looking at education systems that are insisting, we're going to tell you what your children ought to believe. You don't get to tell them that anymore. And it is coming at a younger and younger and younger age where they're being affected and infected with evil in the name of education. And then if they or you or we or us are on social media, TikTok, Instagram, and whatever form of social media, because those are the only ones I know, you happen to be engaged in, you're constantly being berated and bombarded with a myriad of ideas, thoughts, concepts, philosophies. And if you don't agree, you will be accused of being a hater. You will be accused of being mean-spirited if you don't go with the cultural programs. So bad at the family structure developed by Genesis chapter 6 that the whole world had to be destroyed. Said the women and the men had become demonized. And the demonic infiltration of the big bad wolf and his posse had so infected the human race, the human structure, that God had to wipe out the human race except for one family and start all over again. Because there had been the destruction of the family because it had been demonized. So this is no small thing. But we don't even have to go to the culture at large. We can look in our own homes or extended families and look at the chaos. Look at 50% of couples getting divorced. We'll talk about divorce and remarriage as part of this series. no-fault divorce to make it easy to get out rather than incentive to stay in. We're looking at 70% of children being born out of wedlock. We're looking at fatherlessness becoming normalized and single parenthood becoming normalized. We're looking at a government structure that wants to pay you to stay home. And an increasing group of people willing to take that tab. I mean, it's chaos. And the social, economic repercussions of family breakdown is legion. Whether it's increase in poverty, increase in crime, increase in abuse, increase in the destabilization of order in society, increase in racial, social, or political chaos and conflict, all because stuff wasn't straight at the crib. It would be the meaning, the definition, and yes, the ownership of the family that would determine what would happen in the structure of society. Joshua says, if this thing is going to work in our society, he was talking to the children of Israel, sort of like talking to the church, God's people. He says, y'all got to get rid of your idols. Amen. He says, those idols are messing you up. You being tore up from the floor up. And he says, the reason is because you're more committed to the culture than to the Christ. He says, you better put away the idols that you came from, he says, across the river or in the land in which you're located, the Amorites. He says, if this thing is going to work, you're going to have to stop your allegiance to foreign gods. Now, what we have today are American idols. These are sophisticated idols. These are the idols of the culture that wants you to conform to the standards of society, even when they're in rebellion with the definition of our deity. And so what you find today are Christians who are caving in, who are throwing in the towel because they want to be liked more than they want to be acceptable to their creator God. You have people who name the name of Jesus Christ, but because they don't want to be offensive, not that they're trying to offend, but they don't want to be perceived as offensive, will deny God, the Bible, what he says about gender, what he says about marriage. They will throw that away just so you still like me. Now, to be sure, we should be compassionate. We should be loving. We should be caring. We should be forgiving, but we should not be compromising. You and I are living in a culture that's about to go off the cliff. If you wind up going in the opposite direction, you're gonna look like the fool. Because everybody's headed this way, you decide to go this way, you're gonna look like the oddball out. Actually, the culture is the oddball out. And if you go this way, you are the same one, even if you're in the minority. But until you are willing, we are willing to take a biblical stand in love, with compassion, with care, but with clarity. And I call the idols what they are. The worship of the state, the worship of the school, the worship of the teacher, the worship of the media, when it disagrees with God, unless we notify them, this is pagan, and you are going to go off the cliff if you don't reverse the direction, we become co-conspirators to the cultural chaos. He He says, you must get rid of feeling you're obligated to the idolatry of the culture. He says, those gods are not to control your crib, your family, your definition of manhood and womanhood, your definition of the role of parents, the role of children. They're not to define that. The teacher doesn't get to trump you as a Christian parent. The culture doesn't get to trump you. And so he lays out for them, you folks have some decisions to make in the culture, and you've got to get rid of the idols. Amen. You cannot buy. An idol is any noun, any person, place, thing, or thought that you look to as your source. Because what the culture does is want to own the family, define the family, and threaten you if you disagree with them. They want to impose its will on the people of God. And the people of God with the right spirit and attitude must make it clear, not up in here, not up in here. So we must establish first and foremost the ownership of the family. No matter what the family is, the biblical concept of family is a unit of people who've been brought together by heterosexual marriage, the only kind of marriage there is, who've been brought together by heterosexual marriage, blood, or adoption. In Genesis chapter 1, God gives the three reasons why he established family. And he established family. It wasn't a social idea, political idea, American idea. It was a God idea. Because he claims ownership. Therefore, he claims control. Because he controls what he owns. In Genesis chapter 1, we read beginning in verse 26 these words. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every living thing that moves on the earth. He gives three reasons why he created family. The first reason he created family was reflection. That is, he created them in his image. His image. An image is a mirror. It's a reflection of something. You don't know how you look. Well, let's test it. Look at your face. You don't know how you look unless you see a reflection. You got to go to a mirror, and the mirror gives you the image so that you can see clearly how you look. Otherwise, you may feel better about how you think you look than you really look. Because you don't have a reflection that gives you the validity, the clarity of how you really look. The reason why we go and we look when we get up into the mirror is to see how messed up we got sleeping all night long. You skip that mirror and you'll clear out this whole building. You need the reflection in order to see reality. Because without that image, that reflection, reality escapes you. See, we having family now without an image. So we getting a bad reflection. He says, let us create man in our own image and likeness. We want mankind to reflect us. Amen. Let us make man. So who is us? The triune God. One God composed of three co-equal persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who are distinct in personality. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, but who are one in essence. In other words, they bear the same nature, but they're not the same persons. Okay? So it's like a pretzel, you heard me say it, with three holes. First hole is not the second hole, and the second hole is not the third hole, but they all tied together by the same dough. The Godhead is tied together by the same dough, but each person is distinct within the triune God. He says, let's create them in our own image. This explains how family was constructed, because God took a man. Out of the man, he brought the woman. He put in the woman a womb so she could bring forth a child. And this unit is to be called a family to reflect the triune God in heaven. So God never wanted the family structure to be disassociated from him, because it was supposed to reflect the us in the triune God. Well, if you don't know who God is, what God is like, and how God functions, you're going to be at a bad mirror. You're going to be at a carnival mirror. Now, you know, a carnival mirror will make you look longer or wider or shorter, because a carnival mirror is a fake picture of what you look like. Many of us are operating in fake family because we're operating on bad mirrors, not the mirror of the image of the Creator. So we have been created in the concept of mirroring God in family structure. So all this series, we're going to be putting you and me in front of a mirror. And we're going to see, man, whether you are really a man. Or are you a male trying to be one? Woman, are you really a woman? Are you simply a girl that hadn't grown up to be the woman that you are supposed to be mirroring in the kingdom of God? We're going to put us all up in the mirror so we can straighten stuff up because of what the mirror shows. So, the first goal is to be a reflection. The second goal of family is replication. Because he says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply, which means have children. But when he says have children, he's not saying have lookalikes. He's not just saying have somebody you can go Gucci, Gucci, Goo on, or ain't he or she cute. No, when he says be fruitful and multiply, you can't skip that from what he just said. Be fruitful and multiply the image. So it's the multiplication, not just of the people, it's the multiplication of the image, which is why Malachi 2, 14 and 15 says that the job of parents is to raise a godly seed, not just to have babies. The goal is to raise a seed that reflects the image that we should be perpetuating as reflectors of the image. So the goal is not just that they have a good education. The goal is not just that they go to a good college. The goal is not that they just have a great job. The goal is not that they just have a great career. The goal is not that they just make a lot of money. The goal is, have I raised up a seed that reflects the mirror that God created the family to reflect? So the question is, How much time am I investing in the fruitful and multiplying to create the image? Not just how much time I'm giving to going to the ball game. Not how much time I'm just teaching them how to catch a pass. Not how much time I'm just playing with them with a doll. The issue is how much time am I reflecting the mirror in how I'm developing them. And what we're having is we're having the wrong people build the mirrors for our children, and it's being reflected in their image, which is not the image of God. So the big bad wolf gets to blow on them. Because the goal is the replication of the image, not just the having of babies. We'll see that as we go along. The third goal, it's reflection. It's replication or reproduction of the image. The third one is ruling. He says, let them rule. Let them rule. The family unit was created to be a ruling unit. By ruling, he means, another word is to exercise dominion, is to be able to grab heaven and bring its benefits to earth. Amen. He says, let them rule over the earth. When the family is working as the family was constructed to work by the owner, the family gets to rule. It gets to extract from heaven, operating on God's behalf, to exercise what I call kingdom authority, heaven's authority in the realm of history. Whether you're single, single parent, nuclear family, extended family, when you are operating underneath the umbrella of divine rule, he gives you authority to rule in history. He says, I want them to rule. I want them to exercise authority from me. So if you are the big bad wolf, if you are the devil, you don't want them ruling. You don't want them controlling anything. So what you do is you bring about discord in the family. So that mama's not getting along with daddy, and kids are not getting along with parents, and you're getting all this conflict and abuse and confusion, and then you will take a small problem and you'll start whispering in one ear and whispering in the other. Tastes great, less filling. Tastes great, less filling. Y'all remember that commercial by Conrad Dobler? He go to one, he go to the other, and then he will walk away and watch them begin fighting each other because he begin whispering in their ear. And so what the big bad wolf does is he whispers in ears and he takes a little problem. You ever notice how a little problem turns into this big thing and you don't even remember how it got started? That's because the big bad wolf was whispering because he's after destroying the family so that he can cancel your authority. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I just want to be happy. You know, I want to be happy. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. Couple gets married, they want to be happy together. That's legitimate. Well, the text says in verse 28, God blessed them. He gave them divine favor. Blessing is divine favor. Let's get something straight. He blessed them when they were reflecting, when they were reproducing godly offspring, and when they were ruling on his behalf. See, a lot of folk want to be happy using the wrong definition of the relationship. See, they don't want God's definition of family, but they want to be happy. The blessing came because they were fulfilling the purpose. So get back to the purpose, and then you can find some happy. But don't be looking for no blessedness, happiness, if you're abandoning the owner of the family. He owns it. He wants to control it. Now you can be happy because he blessed them when they were doing what he created it for. But the big bad wolf doesn't want you to be happy. So he removes you from God's umbrella so that now chaos sets in as it sets in Genesis chapter 3 and the relationship is destroyed, and Cain is killing Abel. And so you got sibling rivalry, and Adam is blaming Eve, and Eve is blaming the serpent, and it's going back and forth. And now the whole world is in chaos. Why? It's in chaos because the big bad wolf blew the house down. Reflection, reproduction, ruling, now bless them. So before you have operated on those definitions of family, you don't have the freedom to end it because you never started it right. You never even have tried it. Because you're basing it on what the culture says, what your homeboys say, what your homegirls say, what your peeps say. You're basing it on what society says. You're basing it on the idols. You're basing it on reality TV. You're basing it on Housewives of Atlanta. Not the owner. An establisher of the family. So Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, he speaks. He says, remove the idols that belong to the culture. The government doesn't own your children. They didn't create family. They didn't create processes of reproduction. And they didn't create divine opportunity for ruling. They don't own your, they're trying to own your family. Increasingly, they're imposing their will on us. And that's where we have to take our stand. This is not a time to be a spiritual punk. It's not a time to back up and moonwalk. You should be compassionate, you should be loving, but you should be inextricably clear. And that's exactly what happens here, because Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, now, y'all can do what you want to do. Isley brothers, is this your thing? Yeah. Do what you want to do. He says, y'all can do what you want to do. Now, I'm telling you what you should do. Amen. He says, the first thing you should do is fear the Lord. That means to take God seriously. To fear God means to take God seriously, not take God casually. Okay, not just coming to church and throwing God's name out there. No, no, no. He says, no, you need to take God seriously. And how do you know you're taking God seriously? He said, because now you're serving the Lord. In other words, you're serving the Lord as a husband. You're serving the Lord as a wife. You're serving the Lord as parents. You're serving the Lord as children. You're serving the Lord and honoring your parents. You're serving the Lord and how you relate to your extended family. All of that is serving the Lord. He says, you ought to serve the Lord, and you ought to do it, he says, with the truth. You do it with the truth. What's the truth? It's an absolute standard by which reality is measured. The truth is God's view on whatever the subject is. That's the truth. Anything that disagrees with God is a lie. It may be a popular lie. It may be an acceptable lie. It may be an embraced lie. It's still a well-dressed up lie if it disagrees with God. He says you must fear the Lord with the truth. That means you must know the truth, be willing to execute the truth, and be willing to correct the error when you find the truth. And so he says, now that's what you should do. I don't know whether you're going to do it, but I am going to tell you what we're going to do up in my house. Joshua stands as head of his household. As for me and my house, we don't vote on this on my house. We don't, this is not what you think. You think we should do this? You think we should do this? You think we should do that? No, I'm going to tell you, every head of household. Amen. If you're a single parent, then you're the head of that household. But every head of household should make it absolutely clear. Yeah. When I was growing up, you walk in my house, my father had this sign. As soon as you walk through the door, you ran into it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Non-negotiable. I come in, I say, Dad, Dad, my friend said, he said, what, read that. Yeah. Does what your friend said agree with that? Then your friend is wrong. He's wrong. As for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. There is a standard here. Now, we're imperfect people. We don't always meet that standard, but we should be pursuing that standard and be willing to be corrected when we've abandoned that standard. But what's interesting is Joshua doesn't say that just to his house. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's telling the whole community, hey, y'all, I don't know what y'all gonna do out there, but as for me and my posse, as for me and my peeps, we, because I'm speaking for everybody, we are going to serve the Lord. So I want to know, what do your neighbors think about you in your house? What do they think about you and your house on your job? What do they think about you and your house in the community? Do they absolutely, inextricably know in my house and the way we run our family and the way we raise our kids and the way we conduct our relationship is all predicated on the owner? We serve God. So no, we don't agree with that. We don't agree with gay marriage. We don't agree with using 50 pronouns for boys or girls. We don't agree with that, because that's not how we raise our family up in here. Up in here, we raise our family according to the word of God, not according to the idolatry of the culture. And the culture's trying to make you believe it, make you accept it, make you kowtow to it. And we need some Christians with some biblical guts to take a stand on what God has to say about the family. We're having a generation of children being raised to think that's normal. They're being raised to think that's normal. So you better make God the head of your house, or your children are going to think it's normal. If you're in public school, you need to critique everything they're teaching. And when they come home with that evolutionary lie, you better give them the creation truth. And if you can go to a Christian school or a school that lays a foundation, particularly in the early ages, that's fine. But everybody can't do that. But what you can do is go to that PTA meeting and check them books out that they're putting in that library. You can do that. And again, yes, it should be done. I care for all people. We just don't agree with all ideas. We love all people. We want to be compassionate with people who are struggling. And yes, sin has created all kinds of dysphoria in people's lives that need to be worked through and loved through and cared through, but you don't compromise the truth to do it. You bring people to the truth. You don't cooperate with the lie. And so it is time. That is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So just know that when people, because, you know, everybody criticizes me and criticizes the church, but as long as I'm here, for me and this house, we will take our stand for the truth based on the word of God, not based on the culture. And so it is absolutely critical that you understand God owns the house. So if your house is falling apart, if your house is, you and your mate are talking about a divorce, just say, have we done this the right way to begin with? Maybe we never really even got married straight. And that's why we want to get a divorce. It must be a radical return. So the big bad wolf, he came the pig number one. Came the pig number one. And pig number one, he said, big bad wolf said, let me in. Or I'm a huff and puff and blow your house down. Pig said, not about a hair of my chinny chin chin. Big bad wolf took a deep breath, blew, and the house of straw from pig number one came tumbling down. Pig number one ran to pig number two's house. Big bad wolf came to pig number two's house, took a deep breath, and blew. Pig number two said, but not about a hair of my chinny chin chin, but his house was made of sticks. And his house came crumbling down. So pig number one and pig number two ran to pig number three's house. And if you ever look at the cartoon or go through the book, it's very interesting. Big bad wolf came and said, I'm going to let me in or I'm going to blow your house down. And they said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Big bad wolf took a breath, deep breath, and blew. Nothing happened. Took a deep breath again and blew. Nothing happened. Took another breath and blew. The last page, he's sitting on a stump out of breath. Because he'd been blowing all day long and ain't nothing happening to this house. And when they show the three little pigs, they sitting by the fireplace in the house because pig number three built his house on a rock. He built it on brick. He built it on stone. He built it on something that could stand. The wolf is going to come and he's going to try to blow your house down. But if you build it on God's definition of family, your family's going to stand even when the big bad wolf is trying to blow it down. Somebody ought to give him some praise up in here, because God owns the family. So right now, I want you to have your seat for just a moment. And I want you to pray for your family. I want you to whisper the name of your mate, children, or if you're single, yourself. And say, Lord, in my home, my apartment, whatever it is, make this a place that serves the Lord. I want to reflect you. And I want, in the influence of my nieces or nephews or whoever is in that extended family, till I get my own, if that is to happen, I want to reflect you. Take 30, 45 seconds and